1 Corinthians chapter 3. I had a conversation this week. I don't know if any of you have seen the trailer for the new Left Behind movie that's coming out. Nicolas Cage is doing the part as the airline pilot. And, you know, they did it a few years ago. So, well, it's been a lot of years ago with Kirk Cameron. But it was in a conversation, and anyway, the rapture came up, and we were talking about some of the things about it, and some questions were asked, and so I want to kind of deal with that this morning to try and answer some questions, and you know, it's going to be stuff you've heard before, I'm sure, but hopefully you'll get something out of it. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 6, Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now here Paul is giving, he is telling us about an event that's going to take place in the future. In this event, we call the judgment seat of Christ. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. And there's a couple of things in this passage here that I want you to pull out of it. Number one, there's going to be a reward based on labor. And it is not salvation based on labor. There's a difference. We're saved by the grace of God. Based upon what His Son did for us at Calvary, Christ died for our sins, He was buried, He rose again the third day for our justification. Our salvation is based upon what He did for us at Calvary. Our reward is based upon what we do for Him in our life. Our labor will be judged. And Paul, I'm just going to put it up here as initials. The judgment seat of Christ. We're all going to stand before that and give an account for the things we've done in our flesh. So it is a reward based upon our labor, but it is also a judgment for the saved. It's not a judgment for the lost. Notice verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, that would be the wood, hay, or the stubble, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. If you're saved, your rewards may go up in a puff of smoke at the judgment seat of Christ, but your salvation is secure in the Lord. Paul said when he wrote to Timothy, nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. God knows you. The Lord knows you if you're saved. He can never say to you at any point in the future, depart from me, I never knew you, as we read in Matthew and see. So, our salvation is secure, but our rewards are based upon our labor. Okay? Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 6, Paul says, therefore we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. So, being at home in the body would be those of us that are here, you're alive. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So if you want to be present with the Lord, you're going to have to be absent from your body. And the only way that's going to happen is when you're dead. Paul says we're confident and willing. Okay? Some more willing than others, I would imagine. You know, you get sick, you go to the doctor. You want to get well. We want to live as long as we can. That's that human nature. But we understand that if something happens in our life and we are absent from this body through death, that we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. And that's comforting. That's something that should comfort us. Verse 9, wherefore we labor, that whether present down here on this earth, or absent, I'm sorry, present would be in the presence of the Lord, or absent here in the body, we may be accepted of Him. And that's accepted in our labor, not accepted for salvation. Hold that. Hold 2 Corinthians and look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We're coming right back to 2 Corinthians there, but in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 3, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." That is salvation. That is concerning our salvation. "Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein," now watch it, "He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." We have been made accepted in the Beloved. That's not going to change. That's salvation. Okay? But reward deals with our labor. And it can change. And we labor, as he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." We want to be accepted in our labor when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." And I'll stop there. We're going to stand before Him and give an account for the things we've done in our flesh, our labor. That's the judgment seat of Christ. It is a judgment for the saved based upon their labor. And we understand that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Okay? Those are the things that I want you to understand, that I want you to take from these passages we just read. To be absent from this body, to be present with the Lord. And at some point in the future, there is a judgment for all that are saved, and we'll give an account for the things that we've done in our flesh. Okay? But that's not the only judgment that you find in this Bible. Look with me in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season." So there's something going to happen in the future. There's going to be 1,000 years and then a little season when the devil is going to be released again. Then after that, verse 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away,
and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So, we find here another judgment. And I'm going to call, well, it's called a white throne. It's the, we're just going to give it some initials there. The great white throne judgment. This is a judgment of the dead. This is a judgment of, well, we'll look at it in just a few minutes about who that judgment is, whether they're alive or dead. But this is a judgment of the dead that's out there in the future. There's a 1,000-year reign followed by a little season, then this judgment. And all the dead are going to be judged at this point in time. Now, look back in verse 4 of Revelation 20. Let's read the previous verses there. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the Word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. So there's a resurrection that takes place here that John calls the first resurrection. And it is for those martyrs who were killed for what they believed, for their testimony. Okay? So, I'm going to call this one then the second resurrection. Okay? The first resurrection is 1,000 years. Well, there's a little season here. Prior to that, there was 1,000 years, and before that was the first resurrection. And this one is for the... And that might not be how you spell martyrs. Is that how you spell martyrs? M-A-R-T-Y-R-S? Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. The first resurrection, as mentioned here in Revelation chapter 20, is for some martyrs that were beheaded, that were killed, for their testimony. They didn't take the mark of the beast. There'll be 1,000 years, a little season, then a second resurrection of the dead, and these will be judged according to their what? According to their works. We read it there. These people are going to be resurrected, and they're going to sit on thrones, and they're going to judge. Now, these people would go all the way back. Well, I'll tell you what. Look in Revelation chapter 6. Turn back to Revelation chapter 6. In Revelation chapter 6, in verse 9, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So there's some people that were waiting to be resurrected. And they're told, you're just going to have to wait a little bit because there's going to be some more martyrs. And it's those people that are killed during the tribulation period, along with these people that were waiting, will be resurrected
to sit on some thrones. That's the first resurrection. The second resurrection will be at the great white throne judgment, in which they're going to be judged according to their works. Some will enter into life. Some will be cast into the lake of fire. First resurrection, second resurrection. Now the problem is that people that do not rightly divide the Bible will look at these things and they will try to apply them to the church, which is the body of Christ. And it has nothing to do with us. This has to do with a prophetic program that God is dealing with and will take place in the future. But we do know that there will be a time called the judgment seat of Christ when He's going to judge people based upon their works. Saved people based upon their works. A works judgment, a works judgment. So it's easy to get it confused, and people do. Now, look back in 1 Corinthians again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I should have told you to stick something in Revelation there, but you can find it back. It's no problem. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterwards they that are Christ at His coming. Then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Christ, the first fruits, Paul says here. And then there is an order after that. Verse 20, verse 21, verse 23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at His coming. Now, Christ was the first one to rise from the dead. The book of Colossians chapter 1 says He is the first born from the dead. He was born again, if you will. He was the first. But there is an order of progression. After Christ, then those that are His at His coming. Well, who are those? In verse 23 that he's talking about. Afterwards, they that are Christ at His coming. Hold to 1 Corinthians there and look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you get an account of what we call the rapture. Paul calls it being caught up together. It's called the adoption in another place in your Bible, but we call it the rapture, and that's just the word that's been used for years, and there's nothing wrong with saying that word. It's not in the Bible, but it describes an event that's going to take place. In chapter 4 here in verse 13, he says, But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. And we'll look at what it means to be asleep a little bit later. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, there you go, the first fruits, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. That's what he said back there in 1 Corinthians 15. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at His coming. So He's going to bring them with Him. Verse 15, For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So there's going to be some people that are alive, Paul says. It's not just for the dead. You see, these resurrections are just for the dead. The first resurrection, the second resurrection. But what Paul talks about here is a joint gathering, both of some people that are asleep, dead, and some people that are alive. here on this earth. It's different. There is a difference between what's going to happen here and these things that are going to take place out there in the future. These are for the dead. This gathering here is for the dead and those that are alive.
Verse 16, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words."
This rapture, as we call it, will have there will be some things that will transpire. Let me get those off. Number one, the Lord is coming back. And He is not coming down to this earth and setting foot on this earth. He's going to stop up there in the clouds. When Jesus came to this earth the first time, He came down and set foot on this earth. He walked on this earth, did miracles on this earth, called 12 men to be His disciples. He was crucified, buried, rose from the dead, and then ascended up into the heavens. He was here on this earth. That was His first coming. There is a time out here when He is going to come back to this earth and He will set foot on this earth again. His second coming. Okay? First coming, second coming. But just with that whole scenario there, same thing here. There was an appearing that took place in Acts chapter 9 in which He came back down into the heavens, but He didn't set foot on this earth. He stopped short and He appeared to a man named Saul, whose later his name was changed to Paul. He became the apostle of the Gentiles. He is our apostle, and he was given the message of grace. He stopped short. He didn't come and set foot on this earth. Well, the same manner, He's going to come back again and appear in the heavens, and He's going to call us up. Paul says there in Thessalonians, it's with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. That's what's going to announce His appearing there. And when that happens, the dead in Christ are going to rise. Where are they at? Where are the dead in Christ at now? Well, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, what? To be absent from the body is what? It's to be present with the Lord, isn't it? So, those who have died in Christ are in His presence. And someday, He's going to bring them back. And those that are alive and remain on this earth are going to go up into the clouds, it says. Now look at how He words this. Verse 16 again. "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." They're going to rise first. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." They haven't met the Lord yet. The dead and the alive are going to come. They're going to come back with Him. We're going to go up and meet them in the clouds, and then together we will meet the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You can be in somebody's presence and have no recollection of it. My kids have fallen asleep before when they were small, and I would carry them to bed and put them in their bed. They would be in my presence. They would be asleep. They had no idea. Didn't know how they got into their bed other than they woke up and that's where they were. You can be asleep and be in somebody's presence and have no knowledge of what's going on. That's what I believe. That's where I believe the dead in Christ are. My dad died several years ago. I believe he was a saved man. I believe he is in the presence of the Lord right now in a sleep state. Now, I know there are people that frown on that. You know, they don't believe in a soul sleep. But that's what the book says. calls them asleep. They're asleep in the Lord. He's going to bring them back. The live are going to go up. We're going to meet them there together. Then together we will meet the Lord in the air. Look in 1 Corinthians 15 again. In verse 23, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at His coming, and that would be these, the body of Christ, right here. Then after that, verse 24, then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom, excuse me, to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, and that would be these over here. That's the order. First Christ, then the body of Christ, then the first resurrection, then the second resurrection. That's the order of the fruits, if you will. Christ the first, the body of Christ second, then the martyrs, then everybody else. That's the way the resurrections will take place. This one is unique in that there will be people alive that will go up to meet the Lord in the air. 1 Corinthians 15, look in verse 50. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So, Paul is including himself in this when he writes it. He's thinking, you know, I'm going up too in the rapture. Later on, he writes to Timothy and he says, the time of my departure is at hand. He realized that he wasn't going in the rapture, that he was about to have his head cut off. But there are people that are alive that are going to be changed, so that they can go up and meet the Lord in the air. And it will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and at the last trump. That's when the bodies of those saved individuals who are still alive will be changed. The Lord's going to descend with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. Those three things are announcing Him and His return to get us. These three things have to do with our bodies being changed. Moment, twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Same event, one's describing Him coming down, this one is describing us going up. Our bodies have to be changed. Alright? Excuse me. Time's just about gone. Now, what about those that are still here? Okay? This is not... And this was the one of the questions that was asked to me. What about those that are alive? Are not all the people going up? No. Just the saved will go up to meet Him. Look in 2 Thessalonians. And I'll close. We'll read this here in 2 Thessalonians. In chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul says, verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming. Verse 7 again, for the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. We are that which will be taken out of the way. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Brian has used this analogy before. That word letteth is an old English word and has to do with like letting a bucket down into a well. You don't just drop it all at once because it would stir up the dirt in the bottom of it. So you let it down slowly. You're restraining it until it gets there. Well, that's what the body of Christ, we are the restraining force in the world right now for the mystery of iniquity. It's already at work, but the body of Christ is restraining it until someday we're taken out of the way. And when that happens, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Well, why are they going to perish? Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. There are going to be those left behind, as the movie tells us, as the book tells us. But those that are left behind that rejected the message of grace are going to be sent a strong delusion. And they're going to believe the lie of the Antichrist when he comes on the scene here. They're going to follow lockstep. Technology today, folks, we're living in a time like no other. 100 years ago, the things that are written in the book of Revelation couldn't have transpired. They can today. You can't buy or sell unless you have that mark. You don't think we're heading toward a cashless society? You don't think we're heading toward a society of them being able to track your every move, your every whereabouts? It's happening right now. Our government listens to every phone call you make. They have every keystroke you enter into an email or anything you do on the internet is saved in a database somewhere out there in Utah, where the NSA has this huge compound of computers. All of that, folks, is happening right now. They can track you to within 3 foot of anywhere on this earth if you've got a cell phone in your pocket. That's where we're headed. So people, their minds are geared up for whatever the Antichrist is going to offer. They're going to have a strong delusion sent to them by the Lord, and they're going to believe the lie. So yes, there will be people left here. And those people will, Paul says they're damned if they rejected the love of the truth. Okay? Lord willing, next week we'll continue with this and we'll look at what he's talking about when he's talking about them being asleep and some other things concerning the rapture. Okay? You can take a break.